This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not bad.
Rock
you made a
out.
New hand gesture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, that's not rocking out. It's kind of like the wolf shadow puppet hand gesture maybe or something.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So
it's
if you're interesting. Watching, you can watch this on YouTube. We're recording the Zoom of our interaction. So you can actually see what's going on here. I'm sort of doing the hang loose, but I'm also it's adding kinda, the ring finger.
It's the shaka with the ring.
Yeah,
I like it.
Instead of it's still three fingers like the shocker, but it's the thumb, it's the ring, and it's the pinky.
Yeah.
Can I get
you can
three,
really?
Can I get three of those tall boys right here? Just three.
Your hands are crazy. Like you can make this is what my ring finger has to look like if I have these two fingers down.
You know,
show,
on
show
my
me
left
profile.
On my left, I also can't do that, but on my right, I can go full. In line parallel for whatever
that's
reason.
That's really impressive. That's really cool. I can't get that anywhere. No. Yeah. That's like.
I think because you probably masturbate too much.
Right?
That's unrelated to the hand. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm changing the topic. I've been meaning to talk to you about something. I think you also.
Because you don't masturbate at all.
No. And look how fucking form perfect. I mean, I've reached full. I don't know what you call this, the triple kiss or whatever the fuck, but it's full interlockability.
And you can't, sorry, unrelated, or maybe you can't get erect, right? You can't get erect? Is that why you don't masturbate? I remember hearing
you actually
can't get a hard on.
I'm in a constant state of having a semi.
So you can't get fully flaccid either.
I'm half-mast and at half-past. Every single fucking half hour on the half hour.
Amazing.
It
absolutely
sucks
amazing.
Slash stucks. Oh, we forgot to say who actually wrote that song.
Oh, okay.
It's by Chris in Cardiff, Wales, who says, at around the 10-minute mark of episode 525, Amir requested a song to be written and submitted about how you can only appreciate food after a toothache. That doesn't sound like me.
God, you're boring. That's not.
That's actually really interesting. You can.
That's
only
a weird take.
People should make a song about that. You can only appreciate.
They just did. Someone just did that.
Hopefully you can shout out my SoundCloud / Insta. You just search pig fights a lion in both to find me. So on SoundCloud and Insta, you search pig fights a lion and you find him?
Pig fights a lion. I see.
Yeah. I've started to make fully realized demos of what will hopefully be a debut album. It's currently 15 or so years in the making. Hopefully I get around to actually recording properly one day. Thanks, guys. Hope you dig this one. If you do, I'll send some more. Send some more, Chris.
Send some more.
Shout out.
I loved it.
I mean, you realize how hard it is to make songs. You're a recording artist at this point. You have two in the can and online.
Yeah. I'm in a band, so I get it. I do get it.
Do you know what song three is yet, or is that still a work in progress?
No, we've been talking about it. I owe Gareth some lyrics. I haven't had a free moment lately. But yeah.
I think I pitched this one last time, but just to put it at the top of your mind, being hungover at your SATs. So like you show up kind of dehydrated, having to do quantitative comparisons, and there's lots of jokes to be had there.
All right. I wrote it down. I wrote down hungover at the SATs.
Yeah. Because I remember a lot of cool kids complaining about that. Maybe the lead singer could be lying about it to try to impress someone.
Right. The last song we wrote, he's kind of pretending that he likes alcohol.
This guy's pretty insecure, it seems.
Yeah.
Because they're all coming from my high school, which is when I, you know, sort of felt lesser than, uncool, uncouth.
That's right. That's right.
Different slash... Yeah. My vast deference was deferential. I just felt like I was not part of the cool kids. And that's what I want to come through your music for me.
Yeah. I think that's like kind of a formative through line in my schooling era. Like I switched schools twice at probably the worst possible time.
Between 10th and 11th grade.
In between, yes, I did in between 10th and 11th grade, and I also did in between 6th and 7th grade.
So like the last switching, year, or the first after the first year of middle school.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I went from a school system in Hamden, which graduated at 6th grade, and then middle school was 7th and 8th, and then high school was 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
But in North Haven, the system was middle school 6, 7, 8. So I basically came in right in the middle of middle school. In between years.
The worst time to do it.
Yeah. So like finally broke through, had cool friends in elementary school. We go to middle school, but I'm starting fresh, brand new town. Takes me about 4 years to make friends, feel comfortable in my own skin. And then boom, new school, junior year.
pulled.
And then, yeah. Stricken and then famously, I never spent more than a year in per college.
Yeah.
So...
Really, yeah, the last time you felt fine was like 6th grade.
I mean, I think there's a reason that I stayed at College Humor for 10 years.
Because was your school.
I needed stability. I needed a friend group I could rely on.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm drawing on when I write my pop punk emo songs.
Did I tell you that I found an old message board I used to post to in 1999? So I have like a full... record of hundreds of posts I made to this message board that I just found.
That's insane. What is the message board? What year is it?
So do you remember like AOL had access to like, it was called Usenet, and it's just like alt.fans.simpsons, alt.fans.racecars or whatever.
Yeah, I used to post in an Offspring chat room.
Right. So those are still accessible / online if you can find them.
How?
So Google Groups archived every alt.fan. Whatever, like all these Usenet message boards. And so I found the one I used to post in because I searched my old screen name, Bob Rooney, and hundreds of messages posts came up at alt.fans.ConanO'Brien. So
can
I was
you
like,
me, "Can you wait? Alt? I want to look at them too.
Alt. I'll send you this dot, query. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Send it to me.
I'll send it.
I'm very. It's great that I don't remember. My screen name used to be Milk, but I don't remember the numbers.
There's no way. Oh yeah. It was like to have numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like Milk 161982. Like I don't remember, but it was like
I thought
four
it was like Big
numbers.
Jake.
That was when I was older. When I finally got AIM, my screen name was Big 38 Jake. Oh my God. This is from 2000.
And if you keep scrolling back, they're from 1999.
Oh my God.
This is insane.
255 posts over a year, nearly one a day for a full year of me as Bob Rooney, like trying to get to know people.
That's so, so fucking bizarre. Did anybody notice how excited Conan got when she mentioned junk cereal? He's like, ooh, I love junk cereal. I'll know this one for sure.
That was just a post I made about me watching Conan or something like that.
That's so... All right. Andy is a porn addict. This is a post. You called me a porn addict. Yeah.
I haven't grown in 25 years.
You wrote, all right, Andy is a porn addict. Some of these have responses. No one responded to this one.
Yeah. A lot of them is me trying to get a drum up a dialogue and nobody responding. Yeah.
You're right. Did you guys hear that? He allegedly confessed on Late Night. Andy's a prostitute, Bob Rooney. P.S. That's how rumors get started.
So I was just sort of creating a rumor, even back then.
I guess so. Oh, my God. This is so, so funny.
This is like the oldest record of me being online. It's kind of fun to see them.
Yeah. How old were you? All right, I'm trying to scroll back to the earliest one. Here
it is. I was 16. I was in the 10th grade July that you were 10th. Alluding to.
Wow.
1999.
This is so... This makes for bad radio because I'm just reading all your messages. If you're reading this reply with any message you want... All right, so if you're reading this, reply with any message you want, whether it be blank or not. I want to see what happens when a certain message is replied to 100 times. Is there enough room? So please, if some people do it, others will follow. We shall lead the way.
And nobody replies.
Zero responses. It's like we wrote it. All caps, we shall lead the way. You reply to this message. I want to see what happens.
Yeah, when no something responses. Fucking blows the fuck up, zero responses.
And then you write, P.S. The funniest in the year 2000 was Uruguay is going to change its name to Uruguay because there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's Uruguay is going to change its name to Uruguay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I see.
It was a Seinfeld joke. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hundreds of these things. And they're all incredible.
Yeah, every single one more viral than the last.
Yeah. But yeah, that was 23 years ago, and I was posting to these Conan O'Brien fan sites.
My God.
I have to get these to him.
I like finding the ones that don't have, that you start that have no responses.
Or the ones that I reply to somebody else and I'm trying to like yes and them, but nobody gives a shit. I'm basically trying to be a funny dude in here. And Merrily Engelman and WHARR having none of it.
Yeah, do they not necessarily know that you are 16, huh?
Yeah, I just assumed everyone was 16 at the time. But I guess these could have been adults on the internet. Oh, here we go. On August 18th, 1999, I ranked the funniest shows on TV.
Ooh.
Number one is and The Simpsons. Say? Number two is Friends. Number three is Seinfeld. Number four is The Tom Green Show. This all adds up so far.
What's five?
Five is Late Night with Conan O'Brien, of course, because this is the Conan fan site after all.
Right. So he number has six to crack is the top five.
Six is Family Guy, which I didn't realize was around that early.
Hmm.
Seven is SNL from 1994.
Got it. Trolling eight. SNL.
Eight is Just Shoot Me, because I was a huge David Spade fan.
Yeah, one of your posts is, holy shit, David Spade on Conan.
Nine is The Daily Show, which I think is before Jon Stewart. And number 10 is the NFL on Fox pregame show, which I think was a joke that I was making.
I see.
But wow. You know what? Somebody else loves Just Shoot Me and says David Spade kicks ass, so I wasn't alone here. This is like... Right. Early internet. I should find all these people. Where's WM Thorne right now?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. So can you search like This is, are you only searching in conversations in the Conan O'Brien. But can you search conversations, all conversations with for Bob Rooney in any chat?
That's a good question. I don't know. I was able to search the Conan O'Brien fan one. I wonder if we can find the Offspring one you used to post in.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not, because it was just me trying to cyber with people.
And it fucking worked. How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, it often did, but I'm sure I was cybering with other young boys pretending to be 19-year-olds like I was.
All right, let's try to answer a question. This is If I Were You, After All, the only advice show on the web hosted by us.
Damn right.
Okay, here we go. This one is called Aloha Gentle Han.
Okay.
This one is not really a podcast question, writes this Hawaiian. Who's a famous Hawaiian lady?
Hawaiian lady?
Moana. Moana nice. Writes, I love your show and you're both absolute smoke shows. Wow. My friend Alexa and I would quote your sketches in high school. To this day, I still quote, this is an A to B conversation, so C your way out of D room, all the way nice. To L. Any Hootie and the Blowfish, I want to get a tattoo commemorating your podcast, and always remember that there will be someone out there way more fucked up than I am. That dying alone doesn't seem that scary. My question is, would it be all right for a non-Jewish, non-Hebrew-speaking individual like me to get a tattoo of either Toda, or what I really want is Seize the Cheese, written in Hebrew? I'm well aware that Google Translate has delightfully given me the grab the cheese, which, I mean, is close. But if not, I totally understand, and I'd love to get something to the Remember the Podcast that's not a block of cheese. Mahalo.
Okay. What do you think about that as the resident one who's more Jewish than both of us?
Well, it seems like tattoos you can get, like, you know, the like a Japanese or Chinese character where you don't know what it is, but you just take the people's word for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, I can approve it and then you can get it. I understand doing it for Toda. I don't understand Seize the Cheese in Hebrew. That seems like kind of a stretch.
Yeah, it's because the Seize the Cheese is from the podcast.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily want to write Seize the Cheese on your body. So you have kind of these like Hebrew letters, which look a little cooler maybe than, you know, somebody reading it. The thing is, people will ask and you'll have to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
And it's like, if someone's like, oh, that's a cool tattoo, what does it mean? You'll have to say that it means Seize the Cheese, though technically grab the cheese. Yeah. So you might as well just write it in English. And they'll be like, why does it say seize the cheese? You skip that awkward first question.
Toda, I would go Hebrew. Seize the cheese, I would not do the Hebrew. Either translation or even transliteration, like Hebrew characters, but saying an English word. People do that sometimes too.
Interesting. Yeah, Toda is pretty good because it's like, it's from the podcast, but it's also just thank you, which it's like...
It's gratitude.
It's gratitude. That's like... That's actually kind of a low-key meaningful tat. I might get that.
Yes.
Across the chest.
That's pretty cool. Aren't you for a tattoo of the word every or something?
Yeah. And I think, did I talk about on this show that I got something called, I was maybe going to recommend it as my unsolicited advice. There's this thing called Inkbox.
Save it.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
I'll talk about it after. Let's take a break.
Thank some sponsors. Say Toda actually to some sponsors, and we'll be back after these. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike, like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a letter that I can. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
No.
What? This whole day's been a setup for this fucking Inkbox site that you, I think, invested in or some shit.
I'm getting now a kickback guaranteed.
And now that I guess you stalled in negotiations and you don't want to reference them yet or something.
That's right. I'm waiting for my fee, for my VIG to hit on the back end.
Okay, but if it goes through by the time this airs, what is it?
It's this site where you can, like, I think they have some art that you can just, you know, grab, but you can also send custom art to them and they send you a temporary tattoo basically, so you can test it out on your body. And I was not sure where I wanted to put this, the family tattoo, the every.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got two. My sister did the design, turned it into a PNG. I uploaded it. I got two temporary tattoo stickers in the mail. I put one on my arm, one on my thigh, and I gallivanted around town. And some people noticed and some people didn't. People that noticed, I would ask them which one they liked better, and thigh won out. So
thigh?
I'm going to be a thigh guy.
Wow.
I have a tattoo on kind of the mid-thigh.
Is it still there as the temp? Can we see it?
It's not here anymore. It only lasts about 8 days.
Which is really how long a tattoo should last. Like, why ever go for the permanent one? It seems like 8 days is the goat length. And if you want to re-up, just get another temp tat.
It'd be nice if you could just get a year-long tattoo. Because that's like enough. That's a good amount of time that I feel like, you know, if you just have to continually reapply.
Yeah. It's the permanence that really scares. I'll get a fucking year longer. That's easy. Give me fucking... Mm-hmm. I always say I want Milhouse from The Simpsons on my ass. That's a fucking...
Would you actually do that?
Yeah, for a year. I don't care if it's for a year, as long as it doesn't stand there through the test of time. I don't
know. So if you had to get a tattoo, if someone's like, you have to get a tattoo, that's what you would do? Milhouse on your ass?
Yeah, if I had to. That way...
If you had to.
Yeah, that way I would just have Milhouse on my ass. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no one would really see it. I can't get the family tattoo on my ass because it's kind of a meaningful piece in a silly locale. I have to go thigh.
And where on your thigh? Is it vertical? Is it horizontal? Is it peeking out from under shorts?
Yeah, peeks out from under bike and exercise shorts. Peeks out from under a bathing suit.
if I'm wearing 7 to 9 inch inseam, actually, if I'm wearing 9 inch, you might not see it. If I'm wearing 7 inch, you do when I'm sitting down.
And is it running, you know, like around the knee, or is it going like vertically down your leg?
It's going, it's as if you could, if I'm standing up straight, you could look at it and the word in the boat would be the right side up. Like when I look at it from, when I look down at it, it's upside down.
Right. And how big is it? Does it go like wrap around, or is it like a Band-Aid size?
Actually, big as like an AirPod case.
Oh, that's pretty small.
Yeah, not too big. Not too big. Tasteful.
And because you eliminated your other tattoos, would this be your new first tattoo?
Well, I still have the butterfly.
Oh, I see.
So, still have the butterfly. That's my first tattoo, but the other ones are gone.
So would you consider this your second tattoo? But your first one probably like 18 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I haven't, I mean, the last one was the tribal sun when I was 18 or 19.
Do you remember getting that, like deciding to get it and getting it? And were you psyched and amped when it happened, or were you instantly regrettable?
I was psyched and amped when it happened because I was like, my plan was to get a lot of tattoos. And it was like, all right, this is number 3. Let's keep the dream alive. And I think it was fun and meaningful to me because I like got it with some other friends who
I think
Steve got a Celtic cross. So, I don't know if he regrets it, but I think he's religious, so I'd, you know, maybe not.
That works, yeah. And then who else was there?
I believe I could be conflating this because I know my friend Christine and I, she got the word imagine at the same time as I got the word every. And Eddie might have gotten one with us then. And I believe he got like a Basque flag, or maybe he got a Real Madrid tattoo.
a soccer team?
Yeah. Because he didn't really like the soccer team, but he loved Spain.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
He got some Spanish tattoos. And he might have gotten one with me when I got the tribal sun.
And then you come home and you show your parents and they're just like annoyed at you, or are they like laughing at you?
My mom was fine. My mom thought it was cool. My dad would kind of, he wouldn't be mad, but he was just, it was sort of like, you know, the equivalent of like if he saw me with like a mohawk or like,
right,
a fishnet,
so much more
shirt,
permanent.
Just
right.
Like, yeah, I mean, he basically, I feel like he more thought, he wasn't like, I'm mad, this is permanent, you've like, you know, disfigured your body. It was more like, oh, you're such a loser. It's like, oh,
desecrated God. My boy.
He was like, gross. Oh, why'd you do that? But now he has a tattoo. He has the word
what?
It on his arm.
Oh, wow.
He has the family tattoo. He has the family word.
So the family tattoo is a 7-word, 8-word sentence or something, and everybody has one word.
Yeah, it is always every summer in this house. And now my nephew is going to get the word seriously.
Oh my God, he's so, one. Where are you going to put it? There's no way. They can't do that
on
to
his
him.
Belly, on his tum tum.
Oh my God, he's so
he's not,
small still. He can't
he's not
do
one
that. Yet. Yeah, it's going to stretch and grow. You can't do
he'll
that.
He'll be one
to
in
him.
December.
Yeah. But his uncle's going to give him something for his 9 months.
Yeah.
We're going together.
I'm an uncle and I'm a godfather, and I'm going to tattoo all these cool children.
Can you get a tattoo as a child? If you have your parents' consent?
You might. There's places, I think, where you can do it at 15 or 16. I think if you have your parents' consent. I'm pretty sure my sister got a tattoo at 16.
Tattoo age minimum is 18 in California, even with a fucking parental and guardian. Wow. So there's some that doesn't. It's state by state.
Yeah.
And Connecticut has none specified.
There you go. So you just have to go to the right place. I'll just take Henry to the right spot.
He knows. They know me down there. Even Florida's like, you got to be 16. Connecticut's kind of fucking crazy for this one.
No age specified. My sister got, I mean, you can get a part-time job when you're 15 or 16. So you should be able to permanently alter your body.
It's interesting. This is like both tattoos and body piercings. I guess they're all like the same situation.
It's interesting though, because like a piercing closes up. Like I've definitely seen. I got my ear pierced when I was like 8, I think.
What? When you were 8? An 8-year-old boy?
People pierce babies' ears for sure.
Yeah, little girls to like differentiate them from boys and girls, I've seen. But an 8-year-old who's not like kind of a fully grown boy making that decision. And then you're like yeah, I'll pierce. Yeah.
Yeah, pierce your ear. That's like a badass.
Second grade?
Yeah, second grade. Second grade. Ear pierced, got super infected. It had to be lanced. Yeah.
By Lance Bass. Listen to this one. In Jersey, you have to be 16, but minors cannot have genital piercings, even with parent/guardian consent.
You're not going to give me a Prince Albert. I'm 15 and my dad is here, okay? It's cool with him. Listen,
you
gotta awesome.
You gotta go to Connecticut for that shit. We're New Jersey. Yeah. We have a sense of pride about this kind of stuff.
Tri-state area.
Try a state area like New Jersey. Here's the lowest age minimum to get a tattoo is 14 in Idaho.
Huh?
14. So they'll be like, you do have to be a certain age, but 14.
So you don't even need parental. Okay, you're just like, if you're 14, if you walked over here, you're 14 years old, you can get a tattoo. You can get a tattoo.
I think you still need parental consent. 14, that's too little. That's too small.
If it's 14, you might as well say no age specified, because that's so young. That is so young.
That means you can have a bar mitzvah, wait a year, and get
16. I'm on board with 16. I mean, well, actually, I've publicly stated that I think the driving age should be 21. But if you can drive a car at 16, you should be able to get a tattoo.
That's good. So it's tied to your license. If you can drive to the tattoo parlor, you can get your you can get your tattoo.
But driving age should absolutely be at least 18, and ideally 21. Young. 16 is you're a baby. You're only 2 years after being able to pierce your genitals in Idaho.
You know what they say, you're only 2 years able to pierce your genitals in Idaho. Welcome aboard. Right. I didn't even pass a test. All right, let's take another break. Thanks to some sponsors and answer some more questions after these massages. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law.
Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's auraframes.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. One last question to roll them all.
Let's do it, baby.
I hope this person needs a fake tattoo or something, because I feel like that's an easy one. But it doesn't appear to be that easy. This one's about a swashbuckling sun.
Wow.
So we'll call this guy D'Artagnan, one of the Three Musketeers.
Good. Love that.
My son is 7, and his favorite thing to do is sword fight with me. He's been swinging a sword with all of his strength full tilt at me literally every day of his life since he could stand and hold a stick. This is very fun for me, but it's recently caused a problem. Last week, he played in the backyard with our neighbor's son, who's 10, and the boy really wanted to fight with foam swords. I warned them both that my kid tends to go ham, but the boy was confident, and my son beat the shit out of him and made him cry. Now my wife and my neighbors are furious with me. Apparently, it's my fault that his kid can't fence to save his life. My question is, do you think I need to rein in my son's favorite activity for the safety of other people's kids? Or can I just keep rearing my Spartan warrior so he's ready for the inevitable climate change fueled apocalypse?
Fair.
I think this is good. Our audience is growing to the point where we're answering questions about their children.
Yeah, which is actually ideal. This is the natural evolution. We've helped them weather their relationships to the point where now they're, you know, they're getting married, they're settling down, they're rearing children. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think everyone is mad at you because you kind of weren't, like, in theory, you should have watched and been like, the kid is, you don't get to just be like, 7-year-old and 10-year-old are going to go fight with swords, let them go with a warning and then turn your back.
Yeah.
At some point, you should have stepped in and been like, that's enough, time out.
Yeah, but it's hard because, like, you have to watch a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3, 4 years. You're still watching this thing. 5, 6. It's like, I've watched him for 6 years. Are you telling me at 7 years in, I have to fucking still watch him? He's not going to just be cool if I stop watching him?
Yeah, but I think as they get older, they're probably, this is me talking about children having none, but they can go on autopilot a little bit, but one time to not be like, this is on autopilot is when you give two of them swords
and then, like, you say, just, yeah, have at it. Yeah. That's if a they're playing
video
situation.
Games. Yeah. They're playing video games. You can walk away. If they're, I don't know, building Legos. Is that what kids still do? You can walk away. But if they're about to go at it with swords and you know that your kid is a swashbuckler.
Yeah.
I'd keep a close eye on that. All that said, I think this is cool that your son has a passion and that he's a good sword fighter. And they're actually, like, you can actually, you know, enroll him in fencing. He would, you know, he could really excel at it. You could go to the goddamn Olympics.
Was that a Connecticut thing? Like, did your high school have that shit, like fencing stuff?
I'm trying to remember. I kind of feel like we did, but I don't. Yeah. It wasn't like a popular enough sport for there to be like a big call out for it. There might have just been like kids at my school who fenced,
right? And
but the last 2 years of school were like a prep school, so there were definitely fencing kids in that school.
That's cool. Fucking fencing. Imagine swashbuckling for sport.
Yeah, fencing. I'm sure it would be a fun sport for a kid, and definitely a fun sport for a kid who loves sword fighting.
But then you can't.
I say go
you,
for it.
You have to like say, don't, you know, just because you're learning this means you can't do it to other people, yada, yada, yada. You know,
yeah, with great face. Power comes great responsibility. I mean, I'd be showing him a bunch of superhero movies and be like, yeah, you're really good at sword fighting. Does that mean that you can beat the shit out of anybody who doesn't know how to sword fight? No, you want to be sword fighting with elite sword fighters like me. And then,
oh my God.
Yeah, a real dagger.
Who? What sport would you want your child to be obsessed with? Where it's like, soccer. Wow, he's really good.
Soccer, football, yeah,
more than anything else.
I think so because I have the most fun watching football. I'm not going to call it soccer anymore. I have the most fun watching football, and I would enjoy. You know, I enjoy everything that goes around that. You know, going out to the fields to watch an outdoor game. You bring a lawn chair, you sit down. That sounds really relaxing and nice.
I have one that'll beat the shit out of yours so hard that you won't What's even that? Think about ever saying soccer or football ever again.
I'm curious what it is because I, for some reason, I've always thought about, I think about this exact question a lot and I really feel like I landed on the best one. So go ahead.
Competitive eating.
No way.
Imagine your fucking 8-year-old eating 21 hot dogs in an hour.
I wouldn't love that.
No, not.
But stretch out his tattoo.
Gaming, e-gaming. So your kid's a fucking professional League of Legends wizard of sorts. Actually, yeah. I think I would choose tennis because I could play one-on-one with a kid. With every other sport, you're like fucking, you got to get a team together.
Yeah.
Tennis right, is exactly. Like, mano y mano, let's see at which point you can kick my ass. You think you can tennis beat your old man?
Right. And then he does. Tennis is a great one, though. I could see myself going to the court with a bucket of balls and just kind of feeding him forehand.
Yeah, Richard Williams style. Yeah, in the rain.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, it's raining. I'm not talking to you. You're sort of buzzed, sort of yelling at a stranger who's telling you not to keep their kid. Doesn't he have a sweatshirt?
Drinking a Four Loko.
He doesn't need a sweatshirt. He has a backhand, and then he fucking rails you with one. Woo! Yeah.
Backhand and a Prince Albert. That's right.
So for this guy, you can say, if the wife and the neighbors are all mad at you, maybe you did do something wrong. That being said, you don't have to de-incentivize the fencing.
Mm-hmm.
But there does seem to be a time, I have like, you know, friends with kids and like the boys who are like, you know, at three, like fake hitting, then become like 8-year-olds and they're like actually hitting you in the balls and it like hurts a lot. Like you have to cut that off at a certain point. At a certain point, like their punches do hurt a lot.
Definitely.
And it's funny. And it's funny to them when they make an adult sort of bend
say
over.
Ow.
Yeah. They almost fucking get off to that shit. So it's like you have to hide the pain from them. And then that doesn't
But I do like I think that there's something if a kid is like that, I feel like, you know, shutting that down entirely is one thing, but or you can take that energy and be like, if you like that, I don't want you to, you know, punch my guests. But if you like, you know, striking things, let's take you to karate or something. Like, let's
find a creative outlet for your aggression.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a way forward there. You don't have to, you know, try to snuff out the fire in their soul.
Are you an adult that lets kids win? Or are you sort of the adult that like blocks a kid's shot and be like, I'm not going to fucking let you win because you're 8?
Yeah, would definitely let a kid win, but I think I wouldn't make it be entirely easy. Like
they got to earn it.
Yeah, like if I'm playing football with a kid, I'll let the kid dribble around me, but I'm going to go and try to block their shot and then I'll let them get it.
Slide tackle.
And they can That's a red. And
if he crosses you over, you'd fake an injury, right? You would say, my fucking ankle, he hit me hard. Yep. Try to get him a yellow card, thrown out of the match.
That's right.
Even though it's a Thanksgiving friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I run and block it with like a handball. He starts complaining. I
didn't
gaslight
touch
the whole family. Yeah. I say,
that was my shoulder. That was my shoulder. They're like, we saw you elbow him. Oh, sorry. I was saying I hit it with my shoulder, and you pretend right. like you can't hear
that. Whose cousin did you say you were?
Me backing out towards my car.
To get a gun. Who do you know here, bro? Because my dad's the fucking organizer of this game. And he can have
pretty
your
smart for a 9 year old.
He's the 9 year old has a quip that says your dad doesn't fucking like you. Everyone cracks up. Oh, this is real good. Good you guys stuff. Are raising a fucking school shooter. You take out two fucking
oh my God.
What?
So fucked.
It's a goof. They're foam guns. They're foam guns.
Yeah. Right.
Which is ultimately fine.
No.
All right. That's it. Those are our questions about swashbuckling sons.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the tattoo, the Hebrew tattoo.
The tattoo.
Which we
the
recommend. Tattoo. I recommend a Toda tattoo more than a C's the G's, because that sounds sort of like a Pizza Hut promotional coupon that you'll find one day.
Yeah. I like Toda.
All right. Thank you for anybody that emailed us questions and theme songs. We are in desperate need of them. Let's send them all in, folks. If you're on the fence, now's the time. ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Now is the time. We just cleaned out the email, so they're getting read as they're coming in now.
That's right. Your best opportunity to have us read and react and play your songs is now. Right. And you can watch these podcasts on our YouTube, the If I Were You Show YouTube channel. Mm. And more of us watching old Jake and Amir videos on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Job.
We've never made more content. We're just a content pumping, producing machine.
Yeah. A powerhouse, I'd say.
And thanks to you guys for listening. I mean, you made it this far. You're at the end of this episode, so maybe you're in dire need of
you're
more.
All caught
check
up.
That out. Yes, you're caught up. Now what? All right. Let's play that song one last time. That was from, God, was this Chris from Cardiff, I believe his name was?
Yeah, Pig Fights a Lion on Bandcamp.
Yeah, did you find that?
I didn't look on Bandcamp yet, but I 100% will as soon as we're done recording.
A solo artist from Cardiff, Wales. That's Chris. Yes, Pig Fights a Lion. All right, shout out. This is One More Time, Toothache.
Right on.
We'll be back next week, everybody. Bye.
Later.
Was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.